Good afternoon, and what is your name, sir?
My name is Richard Hillman.
Okay, if you hold on one moment, I've been calling my attention that we do need to call your mother and tie her in, and then the Honorable Mr. Corrales will conduct your hearing at that time, sir. Just hold on, sir.
Okay.
Okay, just give us a moment to get this call back in, okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Voice message system 480749360 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Yes, this is Arizona Board of Executive Diplomacy, and we understand that, Miss Virginia, that you might want to be on the phone call with your son or his sister, Ms. Joanne, might also want to be on the call. Neither one of them is present at this time. But if we get this message within next few moments, we're holding this hearing. You can reach our office at 602-542-5656. That's 602-542-5656. Thank you very much, and the hearing is going to begin, but you can tie in if you give us a call at that number. Thank you, ma'am. And at this time, sir,
thank you, sir.
Turn it over to you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Okay, sir, can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
My name is Richard Lermont, 13-18-30.
Thank you, sir, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you all, too.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on April 26, 2018. Is that correct, Mr. Lerma?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you can hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. See your attorney with you. Are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing today. If you can see on the video conference screen, the board member closest to you is Honorable Mr. David Neal. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Louis Quinones, and I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Also in the room is our Community Corrections Officer, Mr. Turner, who will be representing the Department of Corrections, as well as your parole officer.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Lerma and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Mr. Lerma, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. Keep in mind, there's a separate vote that passes from phase one to phase two, so don't be alarmed at that stage of the hearing. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take further testimony from the Department of Corrections. But keep in mind, the board will make the final determination whether or not you violated the conditions of supervision. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, sir.
I will now read from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal arrangement company as follows. Violation of condition 12B, as demonstrated by your contact with your 9 year of age daughter, in parentheses a minor, on or about April 8, 2018. Mr. Lerma, is this true or false? Okay, sir.
Well, there's more to it than that.
Okay, so you'll have a chance to speak to the board in detail during the second phase of the hearing. If you're stating that it's false, and am I clear that you're stating false?
Well, but she did show up there, but it was not because of me.
Okay, well.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, you're stating that it's, well, are you stating that it's false?
I don't know how to keep to that one, you know.
Well, how about this? We're just going to take it as false because that's what she said at first, and believe me, your rights will be adhered to. But when you state false, we get further information from our community corrections officer. So if you just remember the phone, we'll receive some information from Mr. Turner, and then we'll come back to you for a few questions, and then we'll continue on to the second phase of the hearing. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Allegation number one. On 4-9-2018, at approximately 1000 hours, B.O. Berg, Transportation Team CO2s, Cohen and Maynard, and SPO Parade traveled to the Quail Run Behavioral Health located at 2545 West Quail Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, 85027, to contact the offender. On 4-9-18, at the facility, P.O. Berg and SPO Parade made contact with the offender's caseworker, Sarah Appleton. She disclosed that on 4-8-18, the offender had a monitored visit with the offender's mother, Virginia Martinez, the offender's 9-year-old daughter, and his daughter's mother. Let it be noted, Ms. Appleton did not approve the visitation, and the offender only disclosed the visitation when she was... completing his discharge paperwork. On the morning of 4-9-18, the offender was aware of his conditions, which restricted him from having any form of contact with minors due to his conviction of dangerous crimes against children. These officers then had contact with case manager Joni Alia, who disclosed she was present and viewed the offender's visitation on 4-8-18 from 1400 hours to 1430 hours with his 9-year-old daughter, his daughter's mother, and his mother, Ms. Martinez. Ms. Alia stated that on 4-8-18, the offender asked his mental health doctor to allow him to have a visitation with his daughter as he believed he was going to be taken back into custody on 4-9-18. The doctor was not aware of the offender's minor restriction, thus permitted the visit. Follow-up to number one. Due to the fact the offender requested the visitation and did not terminate the visit with his daughter, the offender was subsequently taken into custody for having contact with a minor. It should also be noted that on 4-5-18, the offender was staffed at Quail Run with P.S. Flashman, S.P.O. Freda, and P.O. Berg, and he was not wanting to sign release of information form so the medical team could discuss any important information with the community corrections and that the community corrections can assist and track his progress at the facility. The offender self-admitted himself in the facility to having thoughts of harming himself and others. During the staffing, the offender indicated that he was trying to do right while on supervision and has not had any contact with his daughter or any minor, as he knows he is not permitted to have contact with minor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back to you, Mr. Lerma. For the first phase of the hearing, what is false about that allegation?
Well, the first allegation where they said that I requested my daughter to come and see me, that's not true. The visitation was because my PO was going to come and pick me up on that Monday to take me to another facility to get treatment for my mental state. Well, the reason my mom and them came to come and see me is to bring me cigarettes and my cell phone so I can have it with me while I go to this new facility, because at the facility I was at, they didn't allow those there. But the other one, from my knowledge, from my psych doctor, that we're allowed to have those there. Two, my psych doctor knew all my restrictions to this 1997 charge. I confided in him, I told him everything. I didn't let my daughter in there to come and see me. I had no communication with my daughter since I've been out of prison. While I was in prison, she came to see me, so did my nieces and my nephews. All of them. I had never had this restriction on me before. Also, too, when I did end up getting out of prison, Berg, my parole officer, said that I got transferred to to his office due to this charge. He then told me my restriction. I was befuddled because I never had these restrictions in my life. Every time I got out of prison, they never told me that I couldn't be around my kids, I couldn't be around my nieces, my nephew, anybody under 18. So it was a struggle, but I accepted the fact because I don't want to be back in prison. So I put on that ankle bracelet. I never. And also, too, I took this very seriously. My niece and my niece's husband was living at that house at the time with their daughter. They had to move out of that house. Even Bert knows that. My parole officer knows that. They moved out of that house due to the fact because I couldn't be around children.
Okay, Mr. Lombard.
So that's...
We're getting into some real detail here, which we usually don't do during the first phase. You'll have a chance to speak to us some more. But I do need to ask a quick question of our community corrections officer. Maybe we said it during the summer, and I was kind of reading through it quickly, but was he waiting to get picked up by his parole officer when he was at that residence?
It doesn't say that. They were going there to have him sign paperwork. There was an issue with him signing documentation allowing the department to receive medical information on his procedure. They were informed that he requested from his psych doctor, or the doctor there,
yes,
that he be allowed a visit.
Without the psych doctor understanding the rules of community supervision. But he wasn't at the residence waiting for an official contact with the parole officer.
There's nothing indicating that they went there specifically for it. It just says that they went to the behavioral center.
Sir, it's important that we get all the information from the parole officer and we'll let you talk to him. Thank you.
It says on 4918, approximately 10 hours, P.O. Bird, transport team, teaching team, which I mentioned earlier, that on 4618, P.O. Bird received a phone call from the offender's caseworker, Sarah, who advised that the offender would be discharged on Monday due to he no longer wants to hurt himself. For the case was transferred staff with P.S. Fleshman and the SPO due to the Quail Ranch did not have a release plan of a placement and another mental health facility. So he is correct. They were going to get him to take him to another facility.
Okay. Mr. Lerner, if you heard that, that's why I asked for the follow-up to make sure that we weren't misunderstanding what was going on. Okay, sir?
Okay, may I speak now?
Yes, but keep in mind, we're in the first phase, and you don't want to get into extreme detail right now, but what did you need to say?
Okay, when they came to see me, the reason why I thought that I didn't want to sign the papers, it was because my psych records and everything, you know, I thought that was confidential. But when we all had the meeting and sat down, they kind of talked me and told me everything that they just wanted to see how I was progressing in the program and talk to my my counselors and everything. So that's when I was like, okay, you guys are, I'll give you guys that. Yeah, I want you guys to know how I'm doing it because I want you guys to give me the treatment that I need. So I signed the document right there, you know. But at first I thought they were trying to get a hold of my psychological records and everything.
Okay, sir. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to pass from phase one to phase two. So if we just sit tight, we'll come back to you for the second phase and you'll be able to speak more. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Based on information provided to us in warrant number 2018-W1022, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to find Mr. Lerner delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in the Fully Razor Company.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright. Okay, Mr. Lerner, we're going to continue with the second phase of the hearing. I gave you a warning earlier that we have to vote to pass from phase one to phase two. And I also stated that you'd have a chance to speak more in detail during the second phase of the hearing. But before we move on, keep in mind, we're in phase two. This is a critical phase because the board would determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Turner, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information on your case. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with questions, and as I stated, you'll be able to speak to the board in detail.
Okay, board member, can you tell him if he can speak up a little bit, because I can hear him.
Okay. Thank you. Duly noted. And Mr. Turner?
Yes. Mr. Turner was released from ADC custody on 1/25/2018 and arrested on 4/9/2018 by ADC on a tech warrant. No new charges. He's returned back to ADC on 4/9/2018 with his release date of 3/1/2019. No abscondes. Current conviction, 2012, commitment E, count 1, aggravated assault, 3 years, 9 months. 2012, commitment F, count 1, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years and 6 months. 2012, count F, or commitment F, count 2, discharging a firearm in the city limits, 2 years. 2012, commitment G, count 1, child abuse, adult abuse, 5 years. Prior convictions, 97, aggravated assault, 6 years, 6 months. 2005, dangerous drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. 2009, commitment C, count 1, criminal trespassing, first degree, 1 year. 2009, commitment D, count 2, misconduct involving weapons, 3 years. This is fourth term in ADC. He has a CUIR score of 5.5, mental health score of 3, substance use 2. He is a self-admitted criminal street gang, Dupa Via Projects. Prior terms of supervision, 2002, TIS release, absconded for 6 months and 19 days, arrested and revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary significant and lengthy with violence, possession of contraband, possession of weapons, threatening and disorderly conduct noted. Under arrest, 1989, burglary second degree, Arizona juvenile detention. He has a GD score of G7, V9.
Thank you, sir. Back to you, Mr. Lerma. I'm going to make a review of your case supervision summary, and keep in mind this is a bit lengthy because there is quite a bit of programming notes, and I will try to summarize, okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
According to your notes, you were released from the Department of Corrections with a pre-approved placement. You're approved to reside with your mother, Virginia Martinez, at 1215 East Wayland Drive, Phoenix, Arizona. You reside in this residence until you self-admitted yourself in the Quail Run Behavioral Health Facility on March 25th, 2018. And you were taken into custody at Quail Run. Employment notes, it looks like you did not gain employment while you were on community supervision, but I'll ask you, did you work?
Sir, when I was in prison, I had a hernia, a really bad hernia where it infected me to work. My parole officer knew about it. I had to get it fixed before I can even get a job. And I got it fixed February 21st, I got it fixed. And I had to wait 6 weeks for it to heal.
Sir.
So that's what I was doing.
Yeah, you don't have to get more elaborate. We certainly understand that if you were injured and couldn't work, the point is not that, and I'm saying this as one voting board member, that we're going to hold it against you that you weren't working. You obviously had an injury, okay, sir?
I always worked every time I got out of prison or when I was out there in the streets. I did have a job lined up with my brother doing AC, air conditioning. My parole officer knew about that. You know, I was waiting to get up to go to work.
Okay, in programming notes, and I'm going to ask you to be patient because it is, as I stated, pretty extensive. It looks like you referred to Mercy Maricopa for mental health counseling. In March, you incurred a home zone curfew violation. Looks like it sounded like you're having some mental health challenges.
Yes.
It was during this time that you were transferred to Quail Run Behavioral Health in Phoenix. In March, a parole officer contacted your sponsor, Ms. Martinez. She said you were having a difficult time adjusting your life outside of prison, that you weren't doing well with groups of people. I'm going to fill in this word, it's certainly not to offend your sensibilities. It sounds like, whether it's true or not, that there's maybe some concerns that you were having some suicidal thoughts. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And again, I say this with respect to your struggles. In April, you had a face-to-face at Fair Run Health with Pierre Berg. Your question about your inpatient treatment, self-admitted to making statements to threaten harm yourself. That you were still struggling with the thoughts. You're there voluntarily trying to get help and you want to go back to prison.
That's correct.
Made reference to how you used to carry a gun all the time and how easy it is for you to get access to a gun. Now again, I recognize you said used to. That you stated that you didn't have a gun, doesn't want to carry a gun on supervision, but once he completed community supervision, he can possess a weapon, even though you know you're a prohibited possessor. So that is an issue.
No, I didn't say it like that, sir. I said, order too long for me to carry a gun. I had to wait for 10 years to even restore my rights back.
Okay.
That's what I said.
All right. Fair enough. Thank you.
Because before all this felony that I used to go hunting with my uncle and them, and they still go, but I don't go with them due to the fact that they have guns, you know? And so that's what I end up, you know, explaining to.
Okay, I'm going to kind of move forward quickly here. You went through a process by April 9th. There's a notation from Peelberg that he received a phone call from your caseworker, Sarah Appleton, who advised that you'll be discharged. You no longer want to hurt yourself.
Yes.
And you referred to Maricopa Reentry Center.
Yes.
On April 9th, Peelberg and the senior parole officer made contact with Ms. Appleton. She disclosed that on April 8th, 2018, you had a monitored visit with your mother and your 9-year-old daughter and your daughter's mother. Let it be noted, Ms. Appleton did not approve the visitation, and the offender only disclosed the visitation when she was completing his discharge paperwork that morning. And I think this kind of catches up to, am I correct, that you knew you were going to MRC at this point?
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew I was going over there, you know, because my site told me that my people were going to come and pick me up. So the visit that I did have was for my mother to bring my cell phone and my cigarettes and my lighter. So that's what the whole thing was for this visit. I did not request for my daughter to come and see me, sir. I did not. They let her in, not me.
Yeah, we have reference, one of the notations here, and again, it's not to argue with you or to argue your personal integrity, but there is notation here that you were engaged in asking for this visitation.
I wanted to see my daughter, sir. I would have saw her a Saturday. Why would I request such a thing like that for 30 minutes to visit? Well, because it was just to bring my cell phone and my lighter. That was it, my cigarettes. Why would I do that? Why would I put my freedom in jeopardy? I have no communication with my daughter, my nieces, my nephews, my stepson. You know, none of that, sir. None of that. It makes no sense. I did not request that.
Hold on
1 second. Because I knew I was going to this treatment. I don't want to be here in prison. I need help. I need treatment. Prison, I'm in solitary confinement right now. You know?
Well, again, I'm going to bring this to a close. It says, Ms. Oyila stated that on April 8th, 2018, you asked your psych doctor to allow you to have a visitation with your daughter, As you believe that you're going to be taken into custody on April 9, 2018, which I think is the MRC reference, and that the doctor was not aware of your restrictions, so why would the doctor state that?
I don't know, sir. I don't know why. They all were aware of my conditions. When I signed my release form, and then two, my psych doctor, he knew because I told him everything about my situation, everything about me being in prison, everything about me doing drugs before, everything about me drinking, everything, you know, because I needed the help, everything. I told my psych doctor. I didn't give no detail out.
Okay, so let me go back to some very basic, hold on, sir. Let me go back to some basic things here. You knew that you were not to have contact with your daughter, correct?
Of course.
Okay. And did you have contact with your daughter on that day?
I did. She did come in. I was befounded. I was like, what the hell? I thought it was okay. I thought everything was okay. I did not ask for that. I didn't.
Okay.
I did not ask for that.
All right. So I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. I have no questions for fellow board members. Any information from the parole officer? It's only because I wasn't sure if you were trying to add something. You know,
the only thing that I could add is when he was placed in the residence, obviously if someone moved out that had minor children, the mother was aware that he could not have contact. That would have been explained to her. So I don't know why she would have brought the daughter there without.
Okay. All right, Mr. Rona, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you repeat it. You've already told us, in particular, because you've already provided quite a bit of information, and this is a very long-winded report, but this is your hearing. So is there something else that you wish to share?
Yes. I would like you guys to know that when I was out there, I was following every rule, every restriction. Every time a PO asked me to go see him, I did. Every time I went to UA, I did. I had a call every day for my task. I did go. I never once came up dirty. I never astounded. I was doing everything I have to do to stay out, to have my freedom, you know? Yeah, I did go to a mental hospital because I was having anxiety and depression and everything to get help because I don't want to come back to prison. I didn't go to no park. I didn't go where there was kids around or anything. I didn't have contact with none of my nieces, none of my nephews, nobody, you know?
Okay, sir, the board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like they were speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes?
Oh, one more thing. One more thing, sir, board members. This case is all the way from back from 1997, okay? And I pleaded guilty to this. I was on place on lifetime probation. Well, they said that it was back in 2010, my PO came to see me and said that they're going to take me on lifetime probation because it was restrictive for them to put me on it because I was not a sex offender. And so they took me off of it. That's when they gave me the 5 years probation. And at no time...
So I'm going to cut you off right now because... Mr. Turner, I'm going to be a little blunt here. I don't know what he's talking about. This business of probation changing.
That's a court thing. It doesn't have anything to do with probation. That's a court ruling whether they have to be registrable or notifiable.
Mm-hmm.
With parole, because he had a crime against children, he had a restriction for whatever reason that they put it up there. He had a restriction not to have contact with anyone under the age of 18.
And that would not change under his parole conditions.
Correct.
Okay, so
I believe what he's talking about is sentencing structure.
Yes, absolutely. But it didn't change his parole conditions.
Correct. His parole conditions from the point he got out stated he could not have contact with anyone under the age of 18.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Okay, Mr. Loma, as I stated, we're about to go into discussion now. So if they sound like they're speaking with you directly, but as the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes, so if you just remain quiet, we'll come back to our decision shortly. Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an unfortunate case. I think there's quite a bit of documentation, and certainly we've had a fair amount of rapport with Mr. Roma. I certainly feel for his struggles. He self-admitted to having some behavioral health issues, which he sought treatment for, and I commend him for that, especially in the interest of his own safety, let alone the safety of those around him. I think what is at stake is actually pretty clear, and that is that he was not to have contact with his 9-year-old daughter. I don't want to make any accusations towards him that I cannot substantiate, but I think it's pretty clear he did have contact with his 9-year-old daughter in violation of the restrictions of his community supervision. I may be seeing it through a very narrow lens, so I'm certainly opening it up to the input of my colleagues.
I agree with you, Mr. Wade. I think that it's very unfortunate, but we have policies for a reason, and we will not, we're not the court, we're not the judiciary branch of government, we're more towards the executive branch, and it's an unfortunate situation, but that's what we know, that he could not have contact, and he knew that as well. He signed the documents.
Thank you, Doctor. Any further information, Mr. Neal?
No, I don't have anything to offer.
Okay, and I will say in closing, it is, I think the word is conspicuous that there was so much documentation made by the PO regarding this case, which would indicate to me that there were some concerns about safety regarding the adhering to the conditions of community supervision. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018-W1022. We'll discuss it with Mr. Lerner as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Lerner was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal leisure company, inasmuch that he had contact with his 9-year-old daughter, which was in direct violation of the conditions of his release, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed. That's seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright. Mr. Lerner, the supervision has been revoked and he'll be released on or about March 1st, 2019. I take no pleasure in this decision, but we have to make some very hard decisions on behalf of the people of Arizona. We recognize the totality of your story, that you were working hard to deal also with some personal issues, but it does come back down to the, it comes down to the conditions of supervision. So we do encourage you to seek any programming that's available to you inside the Department of Corrections in these next months, and it is months, not years, and we hope to see you have a safe and productive return to the community. It sounds like that you have family supporting you outside of the correction system, and we do wish you success upon your return. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and we'd appreciate it if you give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, Mr. Roma.
Hey, sir, can I say one thing?
Sir, this hearing is over. Can you please give the phone to your CO3?
She's not here. She's gone.
Then if you could just put down the phone, we'd appreciate it. Thank you. This hearing is over.